You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to Hendox on High Street. It's a Monday, so it must be the Massive Report podcast brought to you by 180 Property Development. We thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report. 180 Property Development, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up is what they do. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. Mike Krosky, Bart Logan, Sam Falmy here, gathered around the tables at Hendox. I'm looking out on High Street. It's nice and dry. The sun is out. That was something. Biblical amounts of rain on Saturday night. Winds howling. My first thought was my high school practice field, which was always just sort of soggy like that. I also thought back to when I used to coach little kids, and I had like U7, U8 girls once. It was at Casto Park in Westerville, and it had just taken a lot of rain. And there was this big puddle, and one of my kids, the whole game, was just jumping up and down in that puddle every time I looked, having the time of her life. I'm glad everyone was able to focus on Saturday at the task in hand. It took a lot of focus. Sure. We'll get to that here in a second, but I'm curious, in your playing days, or just something you saw in your viewing days of the beautiful game, have you ever seen a field like that? Along with the wind, if you also experience that, either one of you, and Sam, of course, too.
You know, when it comes to playing, as I was watching it, it made me think of a game my sophomore year. So my freshman year, I went to Bishop Reedy, and then I transferred to Grandview. And in that season, we played each other. So it was really neat to play against my old team and my old coach and a lot of my good friends that were still there at Reedy. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, that was ridiculous. But, I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was coming down. And we didn't play on a field like Montfrey Stadium that has a drainage system. Right. You know, it was just Grandview High School field.
Yeah.
And it was before there was turf there. And it was just a mud pit. So, I mean, it was coming down. And, you know, and I remember just our jerseys just being brown afterwards. So it was a lot of fun. Now, when it comes to the wind, there's nothing I loathe more when it comes to coaching soccer than wind like that. Yeah. Because whether it's a training or whether it's a game, you can't accomplish anything. So this game, the fact that there was the wind and the monsoon of rain, unreal.
Impossible conditions. Bart?
Yeah, and I don't have that. You know, my playing days ended going into like sixth grade or so. So I don't have too many great games to reflect on. But, I mean, certainly kind of playing with that and sitting through a couple of these games or hiding underneath the bleachers, more likely, in crew history, it was definitely up there. But I got to say, the first thing I was thinking about is this Atlanta team that plays in a dome
right.
all the time. And more specifically, the Atlanta fans that I could already hear whining about the conditions on the field. And we all know that Moffrey Park and the pitch there is as good as there is in MLS.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially when you consider, you know, some of the you know, the turf fields, the NFL fields, and the fact that, you know, even this pitch, they used to let the cruisers walk across in high heels, just digging into that.
Yeah.
And so like how to see it catching all that water and those conditions, it was pretty wild, but, you know, it made for a fun game, and it worked out well, I think, for the boys in the black and yellow.
Unlike all of you boys, I grew up in a country that's 85% desert.
Right.
So
all of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sam from
so
Egypt.
That's probably
the most rain you've seen in your life.
Oddly enough,
literally.
Well, no. I've seen some pretty strong rain, but I guess my only comparable experience would be when I was a senior in high school in marching band. We had to play in a typhoon worth of rain with our instruments, and I played saxophone. I had to hang my saxophone like upside down for 2 days and then try to meticulously dry it out so that it doesn't like go bad.
One of my kids was in marching band. They did all those competitions. They always seem to have those in November for some reason. It's just, you talk about Halloween. Well, it's Ohio. I mean, we're going to have weird weather. It felt bad for the grounds crew because I know how much pride they take in that field and what a stellar job they do every week. there was just nothing that could be done. I don't know if they watered the field at halftime. Did you see them turn on the sprinklers like they usually do?
If anything, they were squeegeeing the field between breaks and halftimes because there was that much standing. I've covered, this is my 11th year covering the Crew. I don't think I've ever seen that much water on the field at one time.
Well, you know,
and that includes the game against Real Salt Lake in the Champions League, mm-hmm. where it poured like that also. But yeah, I tried not to remember those days.
Well, the challenge for both clubs was to figure out how to play in this. And around about the 38th minute after that long hour, that's the other thing we haven't even gotten to, there was an hour of weather delay, which is even worse. It was getting colder and colder and colder. It was hard for the players to go out, play, sit around, warm up, then go in for halftime again. But I felt like around the 38th minute, I jotted that down on a piece of paper because I felt like it was then that we really started to figure out how to play the ball and to play as fast as we possibly could given the conditions. And I felt like we adapted way better than Atlanta did. I don't know what you guys observed. Maybe you observed Atlanta trying to do things differently and it just didn't work out. But I was seeing Columbus Crew toward the end of the first half especially begin to figure out what they needed to do to win this game.
Well, you know, going back to what you said, Bart, yeah, the Atlanta folks were already complaining. But it's like, look, this is real soccer. It's in an outdoor stadium with grass, not in the comfy confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Sorry about it. This is real soccer. It's how it goes. You have to adapt. And, yeah, I think that's a great point, Brian, because the Crew definitely showed the ability, not only the willingness, but the ability to adapt to what was essentially a swimming pool on top of grass. And Atlanta certainly did not. I mean, they have a high-octane offense. We know that. And you can get away with it in a dome like that, but it's how can you manage in situations like that that was at Crew Stadium, which is, look, it's not like this is something that's going to happen but once every 10 years, hopefully anyway, right? But, yeah, they clearly didn't have the ability to adapt, and the Crew figured it out. I don't know what it was about their play. I don't know if it was something that the coaching staff kind of mentioned during that hour-long break or what, but the Crew definitely seemed to kind of start to connect the dots.
I'll tell you what, though, the Crew had one thing that Atlanta definitely didn't have, too, and one thing they didn't have last week in Philadelphia, and that was Zach Steffen.
Oh,
I mean, he was absolutely, you know, I think Crew, when it came down to the quality of chances, absolutely, and, you know, they deserve to win that game, but if that's anyone but Zach Steffen in there, that's anything but a guarantee.
Yeah, it's probably a 2-2 game, quite frankly.
Exactly. I mean, he was incredible when they needed him to be. And obviously, you know, to see Robinho, I think, especially in a game like this, that beautiful assist and just the great chemistry that you saw there with Giassi Zardes on that, you know, really put away goal. To see Giassi, you know to kind of hold up that little bit, get some space. That's not a play that we've really seen too much from him in the past. And then Robinho, just the entire attention of the defending back line was all paid toward him, so Giassi could drop back and they, you know, miss a guy who scored 16 goals last season. I thought it was a great coming out party for Robinho once again, and just a strong performance from the team when you needed to see it.
And also, I mean, to finish that one time left foot,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let's give Jossie some credit here. That's not a goal that a lot of players score. And I mean, let's be honest, he's not known to have a lethal left foot, but that was a lethal strike mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, I just thought in general he played with a ton of energy. I mean, he always does. But I think he was approaching it almost like, doing the dirty work, as they say in hockey, mm-hmm. that he really was trying to be a pain for Atlanta's back line the entire game, especially in the second half. As it's so tiring, physically draining, to play in weather like that, mm-hmm. just to stay warm and to stay moving. And it's just it's mentally exhausting as well. And Zardes, I thought, took it upon himself to continue to grind. That foul he won late in the game, just to continue to be a problem for Atlanta that they were never able to solve. And it opened up space for other people. When, you know, space is much appreciated when you don't know exactly where the ball is going to go. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it would just go.
Yeah, it sure did. Well, you know, and the thing with all three of the attackers, I thought, their work rate, I don't know if it's because of self-preservation, because they're like, I don't want to freeze to death out
right.
here. But they were running everywhere, especially mm-hmm. Pedro and Robinho on the wings, and Jossi, we've been talking about that. But that was awesome to see, because that's what you need from the wings. That's certainly what you need in any kind of Caleb Porter system.
Yeah, and Pedro with the goal, and probably the strongest overall game that we've seen, at least in the top three, since he joined the club. Mm-hmm. We'll be giving out our grades a little bit later on, and I think we'll have some good numbers. You know,
certainly better than the previous.
Ralph isn't here, so you know that kind of ups the average a little bit. But I think we have some good grades to hand out all around. And with the result, and we'll go over the results around the league, it's beginning to shape up like Crew and DC United neck and neck for the entire season. They got another win and level with Columbus Crew, first place, top of the table in the Eastern Conference. The bottom occupied by Atlanta United.
It's crazy.
And there's
well.
What did you learn? You know, we talked about De Boer's tactics and the Dutch style and so forth. What did you see from Atlanta on Saturday, that, if anything, in that weather that they were trying to do that's different than what you saw from Atlanta in their championship run?
You know, in fairness, I don't know if that's a great game to mention that kind of stuff. Because for two things, obviously the weather, but again, the zero on the board is not a zero against the high majority of keepers. And I don't mean to keep praising Stefan, but that is the reality. They would have scored two goals, very likely, had he not been the keeper there. And so, and again, in those conditions, it's hard to grade a coach. And I understand, you know, people don't want to see excuses made for a guy like that. And they struggled the first, you know, three, four games prior to that. But it's hard to say what was different, what wasn't in that kind of playing atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it was just really a confluence of everything, you know, that could kind of go wrong for Atlanta a little bit. You know, you're coming out struggling out of the gate, and, you know, maybe that championship hangover when you add in the turnover at head coach, the sale of Almiron to Newcastle United, who unfortunately fell today to Arsenal. And all this, and then, you know, the struggle that this team has not experienced in franchise history, really. And then to go into Columbus, a Columbus team looking to bounce back with a lot of momentum in these conditions, it just seemed like they were kind of, and especially after you see a couple of those two saves from Stefan, it's just, at some point, you're just throwing your hands up if you're
absolutely.
An Atlanta fan or
you're
Atlanta
like,
player.
What can we do?
Well, it's you got to feel for the long-suffering Atlanta fans. Once again, another year down the drain.
I think this game might actually play in favor of Atlanta and Frank De Boer because it was such a bad game and it was a mess. Everybody's like, no, let's not jump to let's not try to cut his head off now. He had a really bad game that we could have won against Columbus or anything like that. So. This actually might have helped
Absolutely.
Atlanta, maybe not in the standings, but
it just
might have helped
the
them around
down the road a little bit.
Yeah, and it gives them something to be angry about. So I don't know who they play next, but whoever they play next, they should probably be a little cautious that Atlanta might be coming in a little angry.
All right. Well, we've kind of reviewed the monsoon that was Saturday night, something that fans will talk about forever. And I will tell you guys that even though I was watching the game on my couch, I did have to take the dogs out to go to the bathroom.
You braved that weather.
Several times. And one time, my CD102.5 umbrella blew inside out, and I almost lost it. So I want you guys to know that I was out there suffering with you in my own way, and I wasn't at Montfrey Stadium.
Condolences.
So I was just out in on my block, soaking wet. And my dog, it was so rainy and windy, she was so distracted, she didn't want to do her business. So
Fair.
You see,
I wouldn't
we
either.
All suffered. Sure. In our own way.
Hey, look, Sam, before you get into your sob story, I had to go from the press box to the restroom, all right, like four times. So I got it a little wet, too. I was a little drenched, just saying.
So I was wearing rain gear, like head-to-toe rain gear, except for my hands. And then I basically stayed out there until the 75th minute, at which the amount of rain, and I don't even know where it came from because I wasn't puddling or anything where I was standing, but all of a sudden my feet started getting wet, and with it being cold,
all of a sudden
once my feet start not that kind of But yes, my feet. Once my feet start getting wet, I'm done. It was cold. It was rainy. Yeah. It was just like.
And it dropped so fast.
And it dropped exactly right towards the end of the game. I mean, the players, and Neil Sika commented on this at the end of the game because I went back to the photographer's room and I started editing and I turned the game on my phone and I was watching, and as soon as the final whistle goes off, everybody's like sprinting to the tunnel. Yeah. And Neil is like, yeah, these guys are done. They want nothing to do with the rest of this.
Absolutely.
They are going in.
Those 30-degree swings will do that.
Oh, it was 60 during the afternoon. That's what you forget. And in some places in Ohio, in the night hours, it was snowing. Mm-hmm. So,
that's
Ohio. We should be used to it.
So, you know, when they had, I don't know if it was the 65th, 67th minute, do you guys remember there was a break or a foul or something? And then
they discussed shutting it down, didn't
they? Yeah,
yes.
Did. Absolutely.
So it was actually the foul on Artur, which if you look in our massive report gallery, there is a picture of Artur about a meter in the air.
Mm-hmm. Great pictures, by the way. If you want to go back and look at them.
Absolutely.
They're the most fun splash pictures we've had in, like, ever. But yes, there was a discussion, and that actually went to, that was like the referee pool question, is what is going on? So apparently the assumption was that after, I believe the 75th minute, the game was considered a complete game.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have closed the game at that point, the game would have been over.
Yeah.
However, which I know you're gonna say, however, that rule did get changed in 2017, and that is no longer the case. If the game stops or stops at any given point, it is considered a postponement, and you would have to play the remainder of it at the nearest the following day or the nearest convenience.
Ugh.
And apparently, even the referee did not know that.
Huh.
That would be a good.
It's amazing
question.
What they don't know, huh, Mike?
Yeah, that would be a good. That would be a good question for our friend Jim, who is the referee liaison for Columbus. So maybe we'll get him on the podcast, maybe next week, and we'll see if he wants to talk about that.
I am utterly shocked that the ref didn't know what the hell was
going
on.
Didn't know the rules.
I am just blown away.
There was a lot of confusion. I was wondering about that myself. I know in baseball you have rules about what's an official game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to quickly poll everyone in the field, they would have said, no, let's just get this done.
Absolutely.
We don't want to have to come back out tomorrow and do this. Let's just finish it.
I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was DeBoer or Guzan, but so after the game in the press box, after Caleb Porter's talk, and then, you know, there's some conversations. In the press box, we were talking about how, I believe it was DeBoer who said that the ref didn't have the courage to stop the game.
Yes.
Okay. Which I thought was...
Showed more courage to stay out there.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm
concerned. It's like, hey, just get it over with. You're this close. Like, I mean, I understand from his side, because it's, hey, if we can play tomorrow when it's not a monsoon, maybe we have 15, 20 minutes that we can pop in two goals and maybe tie this game. I could see it. But let's not act like it's something the ref... And look, you know me. I love to bang on refs, but come on, to say he didn't have the courage? No. Let's just get it over with.
Yeah, I agree. And over with was the 2-0 Columbus Crew victory. When we come back on the Massive Report, we're going to hand out grades. Look around the league, see if any scores jumped out, including a score that you might see in high school soccer, especially early in the season if you're playing a team from a lower division. Maybe you beat them 7-1. You don't see that score very often in MLS. We'll get to that as well. And in our third and final segment tonight, we will tell you how you can win tickets to this Saturday's New England game. And we'll preview. Seems like we just saw them. And we'll see them again on Saturday, New England Revolution, as we return to Moffrey Stadium. And I promise the weather's going to be nicer, okay? We're back in a moment on the Massive Report.
The intangible qualities that you need in a crazy end of the game like that, where it's not really a soccer game. But when you look at the period of play when it was a soccer game, the start of the match, we were the better team and we came out flying. We scored a great goal early in the match, and you know, I thought we showed the type of team we can be, and that was great to see. We came out aggressive, we came out on the front foot, and you know, we came out and played our game. It looked like the identity that we want to be. Now we need to clone those 20 minutes. And, you know, and I would say even the end of the half, too. You know, we jumped on them there at the end and got the second goal, too. So really the first half overall I was very pleased with, and we need to continue that.
Coach Caleb Porter after the match with Atlanta on Saturday at Montfrey Stadium. We're back here in the Massive Report. I'm Brian Phillips from CD 185. Mike Kroski, Bart Logan, Sam Faume, as we continue here at Hendox on High Street. You know, don't be shy. You can come and hang out with us. We'd love to have you. We're at Hendox on High every Monday starting at 7. Buy us a beer, of course. That always helps to break the ice.
That's the admission fee.
Well, we won't insist, but if you insist, please. All right, we have our preview coming up during the third segment for our return engagement, this time at home with New England. There's so many teams in the league now, you only play teams in your conference twice, home and away. It's kind of weird to think about. There was a time when we'd play New England probably four times a year. Mm-hmm. It's just not that I'd like to play them four times a year, but it's just not the way it works out in today's MLS. We'll go over the weekend slate of games, see if there's anything that catches our eye, see how Cincinnati, the juggernaut down there in the Queen City, did against Philadelphia. But first, we need to hand out our grades, and you can check the grades at MassiveReport.com as well. The first one was an incomplete for Harrison Offal, and it certainly wasn't his fault. I throw his name out there, though, because he left the game with what appeared to be a bloody nose, hopefully not a broken nose, because that, I imagine, is miserable. Do we know anything?
I actually heard it wasn't his nose, it was his jaw.
Oh, dear. Is it broken?
That's all I know is what I just said. Okay. Some of his jaw, so I'm really, I hope it's not broken because that could be bad.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
could be bad.
I just searched him on Twitter, and an account called Injury Mechanisms says that in addition to nosebleed, concern for underlying bony injury. Oh. So there is that. No, that's something. But I will just say, I don't think King deserves no score because he played that ball to Arthur
that's
that
true.
Set up that beautiful first goal from Pedro Santos. So I give King Harrison a 10 out of 10.
All right.
Well, King.
Yeah, he took one for the team there and was productive before he had to leave the match. Fair enough. Well, he missed the worst of the weather anyway, if there's a silver lining for him. Do you have a grade, Mike?
Well, my grade is what we have on the website, so I'll just refer to that.
N-A would be the grade on the website. Sam, anything to add?
Not really. I was too wet to care.
Okay. Fair enough. Is that going to be your answer for all of these?
Probably not, but okay. Well, I mean,
I'll tell you what.
I might give you a diving grade, like in the splash, like
that's
whether
true.
It was whether it was a clean splash or a bad splash. That might be about it.
The Egyptian judge gives a 9.5.
That's right.
All right. Fair enough. Mensa.
Would I grade him? I don't remember. I have it up.
I don't know about you, but me, just off the top of my head, I would say an 8. I'd say despite the horrible conditions, Mensa played calm and as cool as a center back could. He deflected what he could have been a dangerous shot in that 52nd minute, as we all recall. The big man, he was calm and cool on the ball and led the back line and stifled
the United
offense.
Are we just reading what was written?
I was saying, this sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
because I obviously wrote that and came up with that. I don't know, and then he plagiarized me.
Wait,
that's
what?
That's a new low. I will say, I'll give Mensa an 8. I think he once he realized that the ball was not going anywhere, he stopped passing the ball on the ground. He just was hoofing it to the other side of the field, and that was probably the most perfect thing to do.
I would agree with that. At some point, you see all those balls just get stuck in those puddles, and you don't at that point. That's what you can't control. But if the ball's in the air, you have a little bit more control, no doubt about that. Gaston Soro was listed as ill before the game, probably just as well because A, the weather, as we know, B, because of that knee. I don't think you want him out there in those terrible conditions.
Yeah,
you catch your foot funny and mm-hmm. you re-injure your surgically repaired knee. So Josh Williams, I mean, are we more familiar with a guy coming off the bench than that guy? How did he do?
Looking back, I feel like maybe I was a little harsh on old Josh.
Oh, yeah. You ralphed him really hard, yeah, man.
You know, I gave him a 5.5 on our on the master report, right? But I'll give it a 6.5. But the reason why, as I mentioned, I just felt like he was a little overzealous. I mean, he was sloppy with some tackles. He had a couple of silly fouls. He just seemed like he was trying to make too much of an impact. And in turn, he was kind of becoming a detriment. And as the game went on, he kind of settled down a little bit. But certainly the first 12, 15 minutes of the game, it was just like, calm down, calm down.
A little rusty, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, with a guy who's been in the league for so long, was he 29, 30 years old? He's been, you know, with several teams in the league and certainly the Crew over the years. You know, that's not something I anticipated from a guy like him.
I don't know. They still kept a clean sheet, albeit, you know, Zach Steffen, number 23.
We'll get to him.
Had a big hand in that. But I think keeping the clean sheet, you know, in his first start, in those conditions, and you know, for defenders, it's so much tougher because every single mistake is magnified, and, you know, you're – To keep a clean sheet in those conditions, playing through that in kind of, you know, maybe not a spot start, but certainly, you know, not something that he'd been training in the first team most of the week for, I give him a 7.
Sam, any thoughts?
You know, this was a Josh Williams type of game. I mean, it was cold, it was wet, it was, I think probably if you had a toss-up between him and Lawless Abubakar, this is definitely a Josh Williams game, because he would be somebody who is used to playing, even though Lawless played in Dayton, but Josh is from Cleveland. Oh, I mean, yeah. He is used to playing in shitty weather, and
Inkley's finest.
What did they give him? 8? 7?
I'm revising to a 6.5.
Yeah, but
six
he gave him a 5.5. Let the record show he originally gave Josh
Williams.
So you're
going to edit that on the website?
Yeah, 5.5. I'm going to have to edit that. I feel
okay,
like.
That's good.
I'm going to have to give Josh like a 7. I think he did. Yeah. I think he did. For having not played in a long time, I think he did better than expected.
Fair enough.
Hey, look, I'm just trying to pick up where Ralph is not here. So,
Mike, what did you give Waylon, and are you going to revise?
I will not be revising. I feel solid with my 6.5. All I thought right. He was fine. You know, he didn't have a lot to do. You know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to push up a whole bunch. The attack was for Atlanta was not really on due to a variety of reasons, but he was fine. I thought, you know, he did okay.
I'm good with Mike's on this one. All 6.5.
Sure.
All right. We'll move along then.
I was wet and I didn't care.
The man that I felt was given short shrift with the match that I saw with the U.S. national team, that's Will Trapp. He returned to your Columbus Crew on Saturday.
I thought he was terrific. He kept the stellar play up. I gave him an 8. I thought he was showing a lot of energy, a lot of fire. He, one thing I felt,
short sleeves,
like a
which
boss.
I was concerned. I go, you're going to catch your death out there, young man.
Yep, and that would be to the detriment of your daughter, who really
that
loves
my
him,
daughters
right?
were concerned right, about natural. Will catching a cold
That's
out
fair.
There.
That's fair, you know. But I thought at the end of the game, he really showed his soccer IQ by hanging on to the ball in the corner and killing 30, 45 seconds. That was very important at that point in time. I thought he did great.
I think just have to have, you know, and he's another guy, kind of to your point earlier about Josh Williams, Sam, that's played in these conditions before. And you know, the combination of, you know, just getting him back in the lineup and the calming presence that he is and commanding presence he really is there at the midfield position. And then to also have somebody who's been in these trenches before, knows how to play this game, knows how to your point, you know, kill a game off. Great performance from Will. I'll give him an 8.5.
I'll give Will an 8, even if it's solely on leadership. I mean, I think he had a pretty decent game, but, you know, to always be in the ear of the ref and being like, we don't stop this game, could we please just get it over with? I think, yeah, even though if the other team complained, I think that was a good thing to be in the ear of the ref about, just get it over with.
Artur! I just like saying that.
Of course.
Artur!
Well, now whenever I see him play, I think of the way you say it, Brian. So, in my head, that's how I say it now.
Right.
But I thought he's back to his previous self, and I don't know if it was because he had Trapp next to him again. You know, he looked a little rough against Philly. Also, I'm sure maybe he's a little more healthy because he was kind of banged up going mm-hmm. into that game as well. But I thought he was very dependable. Didn't make any noteworthy, you know, negative plays with the ball. You know, connected well. I thought that's what you want from that guy.
I agree. Although I think he was more involved. I mean, obviously there's the assist, But, you know, the entirety of the buildup on that play, he was involved a couple times, and his willingness to jump up and get into the attack, it's something that, you know, you want to see more from him. You thought you were kind of going to see a bit more of it last year, then you didn't quite. And so whether that was just, you know, him seizing an opportunity or, you know, maybe a sign from the Caleb Porter saying, trying to give him the green light and get him more involved, I was encouraged to see that. And again, you know, protects the clean sheet. I'll bump him up to an 8.
Sam?
I'm going to give Artur a 6.5, though I think it's progress from the last couple of games.
Yeah.
I will, however, give Bart a 2 because he's not speaking into the microphone.
Well, all right. Ooh. You've been corrected. You got a
rookie
2.
Bart.
Let's see if we can get that up to at least a 5 by the end of tonight's edition of the Massive Report.
I'll scoot in.
Scoot in there.
There we go.
Don't be shy. Get right up there. Santos, love that goal. Love him just sort of lurking there in the back post. A nice redirect from Jossi. We'll get to him in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, the goal, right place, right time. Maybe you still have to finish it. And, again, the work rate, like I mentioned in the first segment, he was everywhere. And that's what you want from your wingers in this kind of system. So, yeah, I give him a solid 8.
Yeah, Sanch, he now gets to be graded with the rest of the team on the same curve, not his own. And I agree with the 8. Obviously, the goal, huge confidence boost, but it also just felt like something that had been building up over his previous performances. The last one in Philadelphia, we're just going to, you know, throw that in the trash bin and not remember any of it. But to see him get that goal, which I don't remember who pointed it out on Twitter, so I'm sorry, but he brought him even with crew legend Gaston Sarro with 2 career goals.
Nice.
I think it's great to see for Pedro, and we're finally getting what we paid for. I hope that I'm just eating crow by the end of the year, too, and he's continuing to contribute, because that'll be a great for this team.
Caleb Porter's bringing the best out of him, no doubt.
Yeah, I think you know, to Mike kind of beat me to it. I was going to say the same way Josh Wolfe and Berhalter brought a lot of good out of Justin Miram and Ethan Finley and those guys, and really out of Zardes too. You're seeing what Caleb Porter's staff is doing with Pedro. Now, do I give him an 8? No, I'm going to give him like a 7 for scoring the goal. But he had some passes that were just like, dude, seriously. And this was before the game started getting all sloppy and wet. I mean, it was wet the whole game, but it progressively got worse. So before it got worse, there were some communications there that are like, you don't have to do that. Just, you had a much safer way of getting the ball across to somebody else, and you didn't try to take it. So the upside is there's progress. He's just progressing. I'm happy to see that. I just want to see more of the progress and less of the Jekyll and Hyde situation.
Well, the long view of this season, if I could think of one thing, would be that we're looking for the home run pass too often, and I think we need to simplify a little bit. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that what I'm seeing?
No, absolutely, especially in that Philadelphia game. I thought that was the problem with a variety of the attackers, and we touched on it a little bit. So, yeah, let's get back to the basics, mm-hmm. kind of get into a rhythm, because it's early in the season, and then we can start looking for that kind of stuff.
I love it. Pipa.
I'll tell you, I don't want to say I'm pleasantly surprised, but I really love what he's been doing this year. I mean, he just has looked so spot on with his passes, whether it's the long ball, whether it's the short ball stuff. You know, the only time I gave him a little criticism was the game that we gave everybody some criticism, that Philly game where he's being a little too cute, a little mm-hmm. too cheeky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in this game, when the weather was tolerable, and then when it got horrendous, he was still laser-guided passes over the top through the back line. It's astonishing to me. And I don't want to get too caught up in his age. Because
what is he now, like 45? Or
in soccer years, he's like 72, wow. I'm pretty sure. So, but you keep thinking at some point it's got to catch up to him. But man,
no, it doesn't.
With that ball on his feet, oh, gosh, it's a beauty to watch him.
Well, in a game like that, too, the passes don't necessarily have to lead to anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got 2 goals. But just a guy that's out there connecting with his teammates in monsoon conditions has to be demoralizing for your opponent, mm-hmm. because it makes them have to work that much harder because you're not giving them anything. So, yeah, I agree. I think that he was out there. He looks like he's having a ball mm-hmm. every game. That's Absolutely. The thing. And I think that's what you want from your playmaker. You want to look at him and go, yeah, that guy's having fun. It's kind of like basketball. You know, it's Magic Johnson kind of stuff where you're just you know, the no-look passes and so forth. It's a lot of fun to watch as well. Peepa.
I agree, but what is not fun to watch is him taking penalty kicks at the south end. It has not been fun to watch since he came to Columbus.
Yeah.
And it was, again, not fun
what
on
is it?
Saturday night.
Yeah, do we know the stats on
does
that?
He, does I he mean, not like the is. Fact that there's a buffet underneath the awning there? Is he hungry? It's like, man, I'd like to get a pulled pork sandwich.
He's commented on it before, and I don't know, you know.
It's the jumbo
exactly
screen,
are,
isn't
but
it? He sees himself on there, and he just gets.
He knows because he's declined it, you know, a handful of times last year, at least once.
Why did he take it this time?
Yeah, because Zardes was still limping
well,
and
he
trying
was,
to walk it
yeah,
off.
He was nicked up. So I guess that's got to be the obvious reason
yeah,
why
so,
he took it.
Does anybody know the stats on the south end?
We'll have to look those up.
I know we've written something about them before because it's like –
It's like
2 out of 10 he scored on the south end or something like that. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
Like, he used to sky it, and now at least, like, it's on frame, but he doesn't sky it anymore. But still, it's pretty bad percentage.
He went across his body in this one, which we talked about in the – what game was that? Was that New England?
New England, where Zach made the save.
On Fagundes.
Yeah, Fagundes.
Same kind of thing. I don't understand why guys do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me, especially a guy like that. He can. We were just talking about how he's pinpointing passes all over the field. He can't. He could essentially pinpoint pass it.
It's psychological. It has to be. Is it? Hey, give him a grade, Sam.
He was playing a really good game despite the weather. I'll give him an 8.
Okay. And the who should have taken the PK, given that Zardes was a bit nicked up, and we didn't want people to take it. Who should have taken it?
You know, that's a.
How
good
about
question.
Will Trapp?
Yeah.
Will Trapp would have buried it. Come on.
I would have subbed on Gaston Sarro. Oh, no, he wasn't on the
How do we know? How do we know that Will can't make a penalty kick until we give him a chance?
That's
I'm
fair.
Sure he buried a few of them in high school.
I'm certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on his team.
I could have seen
Sanch,
Pedro, or even Robinho. You know, Robinho had a really nice assist. Which
how
I'm
about
sure
Zach
we're
Steffen? That would blow everyone's mind.
Oh, Zach Steffen could.
Ooh. You think he would bury it?
That would have.
Would he hit it really hard?
Yeah, he'd just crush it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Do you guys remember years ago? It was a few years ago. LA Galaxy played. I don't know if it was City, and Joe Hart took a PK. I think.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Does anybody remember this? This is 6-7 years ago, and he just blasted the hell
out
of it.
I mean,
scored.
Last year you had. Was it? No, it was 2 years ago. Against Chicago in the Open Cup game when they went to 11 penalties.
Ah.
I mean, that's pretty much what goalies do is just blast them. Yeah,
well, the goalie is going to be thinking, what would I not want to see if I were on the other end of this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, well, it's a thing. I don't want to ask him about it because I don't want it to become more of a thing, but it's a thing. There's no question about that, so hopefully it won't come up again. Robinho playing in conditions he's probably not too used to. I don't know. I suppose if it rains like that in Brazil, it would be a bit warmer. Do you guys have a grade for Robinho?
So we do have an update on the stats.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
PK from the south end.
As of 2015.
All right,
so
well, that's
got,
a good
you know,
long
four
sample
more
size.
Years of misses, too.
Okay.
It was 3 of 9.
Yeah.
Is that what it
wow.
said?
Yeah,
3 of 9.
And what is
See,
the
I wasn't that far off.
What is
and
the
that was
average?
In 2015.
What is the average success rate for a penalty kick just on average?
It's got to be 80%.
Yeah, you would think so. So 3 for 9.
33%
is not good.
That's a good batting average.
It's an excellent
for doing some
average.
Baseball.
But for making PKs, yeah, it's a thing. We got to figure that out. I don't know what to do. Maybe it is the screen. Who knows? All right, let's give grades for Robinho, if we could.
Robinho, I had an 8.
Okay.
And again, like I mentioned, the work rate was just phenomenal. The assist was terrific.
Sure.
He was creative with the ball on his feet. I mean, we see little bits of that. When he has the ball at his feet, even in those horrible conditions, he showed that he has some skill and flair. I can't wait till maybe we get into the summer and he's a little more comfortable being here. He's comfortable with his teammates, and he's not playing in a monsoon. I think it's going to be really exciting to watch him with the ball.
I want to see his touch be a little less heavy sometimes.
Sure.
That would be the thing that I would ask of him, if I could ask him. And not that he would listen to me, but I'm just saying. Bart?
I'll go with the 8 or 8.5. I'll bump it up to 8.5 because I'm the homer here. I think I said most of it about him earlier in the first segment, but it just a very strong performance. Loved the look on that assist and you know, had other opportunities to nearly netted his first goal, and you have a feeling that that's going to be coming in a matter of weeks.
He could have had it if he wouldn't have sulked on the ground.
Yes.
He could have scored.
You know, I'd like to knock off a half a point for that, because that, or at least or maybe even a point. That kind of thing drives me
absolutely
insane. And watching on TV, because I'm a weenie, it wasn't clear what happened right away, because it happened so fast. And in the replay, you see it doink off the iron, and he's lying on the ground pouting, and the ball came right back to him. Kids at home.
Absolutely.
I always love it when they do this on sport. Kids, if you're – don't lay in the ground and sulk. Get up and look to make a play. That's where the garbage is. That's where that beautiful garbage is. When that ball bounces back off the keeper or off the iron, you can pick yourself up some goals there. If you're lying on the ground sulking, you're not going to score. So, kids at home, please, I implore you, don't do that, right?
Absolutely. It drove me crazy.
Yeah. You've got to dock him a point for
that. It was right there at his foot.
Yeah. Yeah. Inexcusable. I'm sorry. Sam?
Yes.
Anything on Robinho?
No, I agree with you guys.
Okay.
I mean,
you weren't paying attention, were you?
I'm not. I'm actually trying to handle work on the other end.
We laid that one at your feet. You're
I'm going to say,
on the ground.
At least I'm not.
It was an easy finish, Sam.
At least I'm not sulking, and I'm actually somewhat being productive.
All right, fair enough. That's fine.
No, I think Robinho. You know, honestly, the more I watch his pass to Zardes, and Zardes just one timing it into the net, I'm like, that is good that you didn't try to do it all yourself and try to take the shot on goal. Mm-hmm. It was good that you passed it back. Because if you passed it before that, Zardes was in an offside position.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a split second. All right, yellow card caution for Sam.
That's right.
Jossie Zardes.
8. I mean, he scored a really nice goal with that left foot we talked about in the first segment. His work rate was great. I mean, what more can you say? He did what we needed him to do.
I'll bump him up to the 8.5. Just also because credit for drawing that penalty, and it's a shame that he wasn't able to put that in. But, you know, great awareness. And, again, for Jossie, especially going back to that goal and that one touch, that just seemed like such a big, you know, such a stride for him. And you could see him in past years either trying to get another an extra touch on that, let alone instead of just one touching. And so to just, you know, recognize here in this, the best thing I can do is go to that left foot, even if I'm a little bit scared with it, and just redirect it right back in. It was perfect. Poacher's goal.
Yeah, I will agree. That's pretty much why you want Zardes there for. And he was in the right position at the right time, and he got a good pass that he capitalized on. If you think not in the first game, but in the second game where there was that rebound from Artur's shot and he skied it, well, this time he didn't. He put it down on the ground and right in the corner. So that works for me. I'll stick with the 8. I think his work rate has been, like, I think we all thought we would see a drop-off between Berhalter's system and Caleb's system, and I think, to his credit, we're not seeing that, and that's really, really good, and that's really important because scoring is not really coming from any other place.
No, it isn't, and I would have given him a high grade even if he hadn't scored because, again, in those dreadful conditions, I felt like he just kept grinding away and trying to make himself a problem and a pest for Atlanta, and that is worth something in a game where you're just trying to get to the final whistle. Hector Jimenez coming off the bench.
I gave him a 6.5. I mean, he came and performed, did what he needed to do. We get nothing overly noteworthy either way. So
he's a great guy to have on the roster. Absolutely. Because he's that Swiss Army knife that you need. He's the utility infielder. And whatever you ask him, he's there.
Plays pretty much every position but center back and striker. Yeah, you can't – I mean – yeah, to come on, especially, you know, not in to come on in those conditions, come on in a situation that you don't anticipate coming on. Yeah, 6.5 sounds great.
I'm going to give him a 7. He came on not – he wasn't planning to be in the game. He could have not played in the game at all. But he came in and did his job, and he didn't have to do too much. He just – you know, I think the conditions obviously helped that he didn't have to do too much. Just stay home and kick the ball forward.
Ricardo Clark.
Similar. I mean, 6.5. He came in, did his job. You know, helped
better than you know, the starting assignment, right?
Absolutely, and that's where his role, I think, and hopefully it will be throughout the season. Just come in the last 10-15 minutes when we have a lead, and just make sure we hold on to the lead. Bring some veteran leadership, help lock down in the center of the field. That's what you want, and he did it.
And I like the idea of getting Frederico Higuain out of a game like that again, where it's a crapshoot. You never know what could happen. But, you know, a player of his caliber and of his experience, you want to get him off and not risk him anymore, and to be able to come in there and help shut this game out, especially after he'd struggled. I thought that was a good bounce back from him.
I was already in the photographer's room by then.
Were you in the dark room developing your film? Is that what you were doing?
No, though I have shot film at crew games before.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm so stinking old, I remember that. You guys like my beard? My beard, I look like the Gordon's Fisherman. Because that was a nor'easter.
Are you
That's
on
what
the,
we were dealing with there.
Are you on the old Islanders jerseys?
Yes, I am.
When they had those?
Yes.
That is
those jerseys are up.
My wife hates this thing. She's like,
what?
Oh, she hates my beard.
Why?
Oh, my God. And I hate shaving, so it's a standoff.
Yeah. See, this is why I have a beard, too, is because I hate shaving. I'm a lazy shaver.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's so
Who's shaving every day?
Tedious.
Not every day, but like maybe every like third day or something like that. If I shave once a week, I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah. Let your beards grow, boys.
I will say, speaking of, in my intro to the gallery, I said I wouldn't have been surprised if there was a school of dolphins that just kind of went by.
Well, you could Photoshop those in, and they probably look like they made sense.
I'm going to do that.
A porpoise or two? Sure.
I shall do that.
All right. That'll be fun. Justin Meerum did see the field all, be it briefly. Any thoughts at all?
It's
good to have him back.
Minutes. Yeah, he didn't.
Proud of that goal he scored for his country.
For sure.
He had a really good turn. Like he just had won the one goal, but he had didn't he have like 2 assists?
In that tournament,
and he was and he was like the man of the tournament. So I mean, this is good. I
Confidence.
Think that's maybe that's one of those things that brings him back. But he's probably still jet lagged because it's like 9 hours.
Yeah,
competition at the wings. That's not a bad thing at all.
Competition is good. We want the guys to have to win their playing time. From Coach Caleb Porter, we have a grade for him. You already gave him a grade, didn't you, Mike?
I sure did.
And you can't remember what it was.
No, I was just confirming. I give him 8.5. The thing that I really liked, and we had talked about this earlier in the season, so weird about the substitution patterns.
Yeah.
I think this was the perfect game to make 3, and I thought, granted, one hit was kind of forced, but the other two were perfect. I 100% agree about taking Higuain out when he did. Mm-hmm. So overall, I was very pleased with it. I really thought, you know, given the circumstances, he did a good job with this team. And as we mentioned in the first segment, they adapted and made things happen, which maybe wasn't the case on the other side.
Well, this is the kind of game that can bond a team together, too. So he needs to take advantage of that. Hey, remember, boys, when we were down 2-0 at halftime, he can recall the game where we almost drowned. And we didn't. We survived. He could use that. Bart, any thoughts on Coach Porter?
Encouraged. You look at these performances through 4 games now, and it's 4 games, 5 games.
I think it's 5.
Four, 5
it?
Games. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, 5 games. Top of the table, though.
Yeah.
Looking at the mess below,
you
can especially when you see how much the schedule is front loaded for them to pick up these points early, and really just not be missing a beat with this team, You know, I think that there are some arguments when you look at some of the players that he's getting more out of them, and they're at least just as much as Greg Berhalter. So, great performance from him. I get Mike Gave him an 8.5. That sounds good.
Well, think about this. Our opponent also changed coaches after winning a title, and it has not been very smooth. And they're going to be bumps in the road, but all in all, he's been able to combine what he wants to do with a certain amount of continuity, where taking a sort of a wide-angle view, you recognize the team, not only the players, the names on the jerseys, but also tactically what they're trying to do. But he's, you know, I think by the time we get to June, there are going to be things that will go, oh, yeah, that's a little different.
There's no reason to reinvent the wheel with this team, right. And he's doing a good job. Because
it's a veteran group.
Absolutely. A lot of coaches would go, I'm putting my stamp on this team. He doesn't need to. He goes, right. We have a good group. Let's just ride.
That's a great point, Mike. It's like egos being what they are, he could go, well, I can do this better than Coach Berhalter. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he believes that in his heart, but he's got to go about it the right way and not, you know, push over the apple cart or whatever they say, upset the apple cart.
I think this is what you see in how he has grown from his tenure at Portland. And if you think about it, basically him and Berhalter came into the league about the same time as coaches.
I think so.
And when Berhalter started, he had that attitude too. I'm going to make my, of course, he was getting kind of a carte blanche to do whatever he wants, but he wanted to do, I'm going to force my way. I'm going to do these things in my certain way, and I'm not going to change my ways just for the opponent and things like that. And I think as his tenure continued, as he started to adjust to how the league is, and I think the same thing is happening with Caleb, is that he realized after his tenure at Portland that he can't do things the same way. And now he is kind of in that, you know, Berhalter 2.0, or really Caleb Porter 2.0. If you listen to the rest of his press conference, he talks about how that they went in and made adjustments. And I wouldn't be surprised if he looked at the weather map or talked to somebody and be like, okay, guys, we need to go out and score another goal immediately, because after this, we might not get another chance.
Yeah.
And though they did have the one fantastic chance that hit the post in the second half, it still did. After that, there was really nothing there to do.
I like it a lot more when the Caleb Porter coach team scoring a goal a couple minutes after the kickoff in front of Nordek is the Columbus Crew.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. This team, any team, I mean, they're going to thrive when they score early and score first. It's statistically proven. So just as Torts has changed his ways with the Columbus Blue Jackets, because he used to be quite a handful. I mean, it's maturity. Even after all these years in the game, they can learn and grow. All right, I'm going to run around the league here real fast.
Wait a minute.
What?
We didn't talk about Stefan.
Oh, crap. I had that on the top of my list. And then I thought, well, we're going to save the best for last. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome, sir.
I'm
here for you.
I would get a zero. Well, at this point, you got to give me like a 3 in hosting for that. I usually don't give grades, but I'm giving a 10. He won that game for his club.
I gave him a 9.5. I'm just not a 10 guy. All right. There's nothing else he could have done, though, to be honest with you. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just very.
Did he get too wet or something?
No. Here's the deal. How about this?
He didn't score the penalty.
Yeah. All right. if he would have scored a penalty. For a goalkeeper, honestly, if they have a performance like Tim Howard did that one game against Belgium, you remember that? Where he had like 17 saves.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, the saves he made were amazing
to
Zach Steffen. So that would have brought it to a 10. But,
okay.
I mean,
right.
Overall.
It was context.
Yeah. Overall, you couldn't ask for anything better. The saves that he made were absolutely beautiful, well-timed. I mean, just.
Especially that one where he just dropped. That's the thing. There aren't many goalies that can hit the ground faster than this guy. I don't know how he does it. Because gravity is what it is. Mm-hmm. But he hits the ground with that arm out so fast. And that one save was a perfect example of that.
And
I don't know how he does it.
You know, he had a couple of balls from corners that, in those kind of conditions,
yeah.
Be very,
you can't see him very well.
Way more dangerous than they should be. Read him, caught him at the highest point, which is what you want from your keeper. No problem.
Yeah.
It was just like it was a 75, sunny-degree day.
Yeah.
He's catching balls in warm-up.
Yeah.
This guy's got 3 clean sheets and 4 starts. And I think, you know, I think there are legitimate arguments for other players, potentially last year, other goalkeepers, capturing that 2018 MLS Keeper of the Year award. Right now, he is proving, although it's not, you know, the same schedule, he's proving that he absolutely deserves that, that he is a high-class, high-caliber goalie. Obviously, you know, one of the reasons they gave him that that trophy last year is they wanted to knock the price up a little bit because they knew he was going to be getting sold.
Cynic.
But I will I'll take
Garber
that.
Wouldn't do that.
He's absolutely showing that he deserves it. He's head and shoulders above anyone else, certainly on the crew has there the goalkeeper position, but anyone else in MLS. And the idea of him leaving is scary, but right now I'm just loving it every second.
No, see, with the crew, he's head, shoulders, knees, and toes ahead of everybody. I mean, this guy is just on another planet.
Well, and City's got to be excited to look at the film from this game, and because we all know what the weather can be like in England.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And not quite
you
that bad,
Stoke.
But yeah, it's, you know, it can be challenging, and it's not a problem for him. It's not like he's only a warm weather goalie. He can make it happen in any condition. Sam, anything to add?
No, I thought it was great that they started. He started just booting the ball in the last 15 minutes, as opposed to trying to pass out the back.
Right,
you can really pass. The only thing you could do is either boot it or chip it, and he was booting it, and that was good.
You know, something else I want to point out about. So I put a 10 down. See, I don't give him out all willy nilly, but I put him down for the fans because the people who stuck around past that hour long break through the rest of that game. I got to give him a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not joking. When I went from the press box to the bathroom a few times, it's like, this is miserable. But there were people out there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, good
God
for
love
those
you.
People. And here's the great thing. If you read things on Twitter and Facebook, stuff like that, so many of them said, it was so fun. It was a party. I'm so glad I was there because, you know, how many people.
No
like,
beer line.
That's right. That's true.
Let's
I mean,
think positive.
How many people are like, I'm not going to go to the game. It's going to be cool.
I don't mean, know anyone
sissies
like that.
Like Brian Phillips.
I don't know anyone like that.
Oh, there are other sissies, but we don't have that time. We don't have that much time.
You know what? I give myself a zero. A zero. But again, all right, I'm going to give myself a two because I did have to take the dogs
out.
You
did mention
that.
That's fair.
So I get a two.
Dr. Pete also gets a 10 because per Twitter, he picked up a couple of fans that were walking just through the rain in the parking lot and drove them. Just like, it's absurd.
Did he drive them home or something like that?
I think, or at least like got them out to somewhere where they could be dropped off. And
who does that?
He also did catch a couple of fans on the concourse that he was somewhat familiar with and were like, hey, you guys just go in the suite and dry up before coming
He's
back out.
He's the man.
Yep. He is.
How do you not love that?
All right, I'll tell you what, guys. Let's save the Around the League for our third segment, and we'll segue into previewing New England Revolution when I'm told Sam says it's going to be 70 and sunny on Saturday.
Oh, is it?
That's what I hear. I don't know. We'll hold them to it, and we'll be back with all that next on the Massive Report from Hendox on the High Street. Welcome back to the Massive Report. Brian here with Mike, Bart, and Sam. Quick note here that the MLS All-Star Game is in Orlando because they deserve that. Atletico, though, Atletico Madrid, one of the Tiffany franchises in world soccer, will take on all comers at the MLS All-Star Game in Orlando. Thoughts? Excitement?
Minimal excitement. I do like that it's a different team than we've ever seen before, but outside that, I don't care.
They're in the Champions League?
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, they, you know, it's not like they bowed out months ago. It's a good team.
Sure. No, absolutely.
No, I mean, they're going to they're going to bring their backups, but they'll bring some people. It'll be fun. They have fun, festive jerseys.
You're going to see a better team in the International Champions Cup than you are going to see in the All-Star game.
All right. It's a branding thing. How many guys will MLS allow from Columbus Crew to be on the All-Star team?
Zach Steffen.
When is the All-Star game? Maybe he'll be gone.
Yeah, I think he'll be gone.
I think it's during the
it's like July.
Yeah, 23rd, so it'll be like City's either right before or right after. I'm sure MLS will be like, hey, let's keep him for this game because you know marketing money.
There's no chance.
No. Yeah, I mean when MLS couldn't find a way to make the Higuain brothers work last year at the All-Star game, I can't believe that they're going to make any good decisions.
Well, young Will Trapp has to be there, right?
I hope so.
Unless not necessarily.
Sure. I mean, your fan ballot is your fan choice is probably going to be like Michael Bradley or somebody from Atlanta.
The fan choice is going to be the Atlanta United, just like it was last year.
I'm not a big All-Star game person for any sport. I'm just not. I don't like games that don't count. How about some games that do count? We got Philly 2 and Cincinnati 0.
Well, okay,
their second ever home game.
What is it about Philly and Ohio teams?
Juggernaut.
They were also playing in a typhoon.
That's true.
Their two best games are against us and Cincinnati. Everybody else, they stink.
Yeah.
With so Ohio teams.
Nothing much we can draw from that then. Here's the high school score I was referencing. Sporting 7, Montreal 1.
Here's the crazy thing about that. They actually had a goal taken away, and I think even maybe two, but I know one for sure, due to a an offside call.
Is there a mercy rule in MLS? I mean, the referees don't know the rules anyway. They
That's
don't
true.
Know whether they can call the game or not. Is there, like in Little League, it's, what, 10 runs after the fifth inning or whatever?
Or it's like if you play in some
if you're playing
leagues,
ping pong, they would have gotten skunked.
You have to take a player off or something.
Right.
Is this indicative of Montreal's lack of quality? Do we draw anything for that?
I mean, Montreal has been underachieving for multiple seasons now. And Sporting Kansas City, before this game, I would certainly say they are an MLS Cup contender. I mean, Vermees always has a competitive
team. Well,
the West
is garbage anyway,
but,
so
but
why not?
They're certainly the best out there for sure, and this game was an exclamation point on that.
They get to play San Jose twice. We're not even going to mention their score. Well, or are we? 5-0 LAFC.
Oof.
That's terrible. I mean, that team might be the worst in league history.
They have not been looking. I mean, just going back to SKC, there are 12 teams in MLS that have scored 7 goals or fewer this season. That's absurd. And, yeah, for Montreal, I don't know what's going on there. But, San Jose, it's a dumpster fire.
It sure is.
Has the Crew scored 7 goals this season?
No, they have not.
No, we don't
need
them.
We don't need winning.
We don't need
those. Now, Brian.
No. I mean, as a in 5 games,
no,
I don't
six.
Think the Crew has scored six. Yeah, see?
Right.
Exactly.
That's fine. Efficiency.
You know, you're talking about worse than league history. Clearly, you don't remember the 2008 Red Bulls. I think they had 4 wins.
Huh.
It was terrifying.
Well, San Jose.
2008?
I'm sorry, 2007. Yeah. It was whatever year with Juan Carlos Osorio. It was one of the years with him. They were awful. I don't know if it was his first or second, but, God, they were
Give
bad.
This team a chance. They look pretty dreadful. Speaking of Red Bulls, they go to Chicago and lose 1-0. Chicago a thing? Anything?
I think they're – I know they've kind of putzed around the first few games, but – one of the things I mentioned before the season, I think they're going to be one of those teams that goes from the bottom cellar to a playoff team this year.
Okay. All right.
Which is not a far stretch.
No.
Well, I mean, it's
when
only
the
what,
majority
four
of
spots?
Teams in your conference make the playoffs.
Exactly.
Well, hey, that's a big jump for Chicago the last 2 years.
It is.
It's true.
They've been terrible.
They pay enough, though, for it.
Sure. They pay for all those wins, any of them. DC 2, Orlando 1.
That free kick by Rooney, my goodness! And yes, granted, it was a very phantomish foul, but
it was literally
spot.
A phantom foul. There was a good 3 feet between the two of them.
But the curve on that ball and to put it in the top 90 in a ridiculous angle, that's totally worth
that
it.
That was a really entertaining game, by the way. I mean, the whole game was just back and forth. It was like a track meet.
Yeah,
and especially at the end where. Orlando just threw everything but the kitchen sink at them and almost tied it up. That was a fantastic game.
I mean, if you think back to their game last year, I think was it Rooney's first game or second game maybe? It was against Orlando, and he tracked down that ball from like the other side of the field.
Was that against Orlando?
Oh, yeah, it was against Orlando. Orlando.
Phenomenal.
No, it was NDC.
NDC.
Yeah, but I mean, Rooney and Orlando, he likes playing that team.
I'll give you this, and I've never been a fan of DC United, but it's A, fun to have Rooney in the league, and B, he seems to be having a good time himself and embracing it, and that's good for the league. And I look forward to seeing him at Mafre Stadium.
Yeah, I like that they're able to be kind of the villains again, because sure, they've been a laughingstock for a while. But, you know, we all grew up with those DC teams just being unbeatable. And to see them, you know, I don't want them to be that good. And, you know, I want them when they come to Columbus to get smacked down. But it is fun to just have them as a villain that you can just pour vitriol toward again.
Hey, Sam, can you look up when we're playing them real quick while we talk about where are you going to answer?
I would say Wayne Rooney's the one thing keeping Ben Olsen from crying, because, you know, he looks like he's going to cry every game.
Well, they can go out and drink their sorrows away, the two of them.
Yeah, they're doing okay. By the way, doesn't Wayne Rooney look like if he wasn't a professional soccer player, he would be a hooligan who gets locked up every other week?
He's an extra in train spotting.
I mean, he got close. He just wasn't a hooligan. He just almost got locked up.
He just has that face and demeanor.
Sure.
If he wasn't playing professional soccer, he'd be punching
opposing
team fans. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in like in the posse for some guy who does MMA.
Galaxy and Portland.
Okay. That game, there are a couple of highlights. One, Ibra, did you guys see? He almost flicked the ball. He was back. His back was towards the goal. It was a cross. He flicked it. It clanked off the post. Just that guy is ridiculous to watch. He's kind of a tool in a lot of ways, but, man, is he fun to watch on the field.
And that's the sad thing is when these guys are in the Western Conference, we never get to see them. Oh. And back when Beckham was in the league, he refused to come here for whatever reason, which was a bummer.
He came for one game.
One time.
He did?
Yes.
I don't
need
one
game, and he
there.
Was miserably shut down by Gino Padula.
Did you guys? So there's one time he went to do, this was back in the day when they allowed streamers. He went to do a corner kick where the Nordeca is, and they just blew him up. You couldn't even see him anymore. He
back
was lit
in
up
the
with
good old days of streamers.
Oh,
it's
amazing.
It's
so
back
awesome.
When they used to let people throw beer bottles at the guys in the corner kicks. They don't allow that anymore.
Yeah, they've
been. That's
when we got accused by New England players that we had machetes up there.
I am machete. But, okay, here's the thing I really wanted to point out. Okay, so Scalotto's the coach with the Galaxy.
Which is still weird.
It is weird, and it still blows my mind whenever I see him and his brother next to each other. It's just weird because they're twins. But, okay, I watched the game last night, and it lit this fire in me, because every game I watch, every sporting event, we have to deal with this. They did so. They were down. I think it was 1-0 or something at that point. I can't remember. Anyway, but they go up to him and they do the obligatory silly halftime
interview.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Who cares? Because this is how it goes. All right. Halftime. Your team's losing. Coach, what can you do? Or hold on, let me put on my stupid announcer voice. Coach, what can you do differently? And the guy's like, well, I mean, we need to score more. We need to not give up more goals. Like, what's going to come out of it? Or, hey, coach, you guys are winning the game. What can you do to keep it going? Well, we just have to keep scoring goals and not give up goals. Like, what are they going to come up with in these interviews that is even slightly interesting?
The only halftime interview you should ever watch is my alma mater, Washington State, football coach, The Pirate, if he's pissed off at his team at halftime, he will let him have it.
Does he actually say things in
the
interview, though?
Yes, he does.
Because
he's
that's
insane.
What I want.
He's insane.
See, that's what I want, because every coach does. Or if a coach were to say something like, oh, my God, we are sucking ass tonight.
He'll
like,
say it.
Well, but that's fine. But the majority of coaches don't. And then you have the announcer going like, sorry, apologize for the language, everybody. It's like, oh, my God.
I want them to get into so many twin hijinks. Like, he needs to be absolutely just sending his brother to do interviews.
For sure.
Good idea. I like
there's
terrific.
So many opportunities with that. You could just get out of everything. Just punt it to your brother. And then get like all these, you know, especially if they don't speak Spanish or anything. And it's like, oh, yeah. Pretend you don't know anything. It'll be wonderful.
Well, right. I mean, or it's the same thing with the post game right after.
Yeah,
they ask the same things, and it's like,
I know.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Can we all join hands across America and put a stop to this?
I agree. If I were producing these telecasts, they would be different. But no one's asked me. New England 2, Minnesota 1. As we segue into our preview, is the Revolution and Columbus Crew get together for a lot of games between these two clubs. 2-1. Anything to learn from New England's victory over Minnesota?
Well, I mean, you know, he made Brad Friedel made, I think, six lineup changes from the previous week, and whatever he did worked. I mean, those guys came in and made some things happen. He was actually very complimentary of his players, which he hasn't been all season. He's actually kind of bemoaned them on and made a lot of, I don't want to say excuses, but he was kind of negative about them or a variety of things. So, hey, maybe they're starting to catch fire, so the Crew have to be on their game in this. Now, granted, we're at home, so yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're also going to be, as far as we know, outside of maybe awful, we're going to be fully healthy, because you would assume Gaston Sur will be back.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a better contest than what we saw at New England a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think we were fully on our game, and New England seemed confused, and Friedel seemed confused. And I expect a better effort from both teams, really, I think. And when you play each other so close together, I think it can make for a better match. Obviously, it's great to have us at home and on top of real grass that will be properly drained and everything will be good to go.
It'll be real grass. It's going to be a nice day by all accounts, although now that I say that, it will probably be storming or like hail. But I think this is going to be a game where Caleb Porter shows that he's just head and shoulders above Brad Friedel, or however he's pronouncing it, because he's from Cleveland, yet he picked up an accent.
Yeah, he has a Madonna kind of sort of a quasi indeterminate European accent like Madonna used to have.
How did that not happen to every other player? Like, McBride doesn't have one. Casey Keller.
I don't know.
That explains why it didn't happen to them and happened to him. Because he's
speaking
special.
Of weather, Bort, according to weather.com, as of
official
what time
sponsor.
Is it? 8:39 p.m. on a Monday night. It's looking at 68 degrees, mostly cloudy with a 10% chance of rain.
I like it. That'll play. All right, since we just matched up with them a few weeks ago, I don't think there's too much really we need to parse out here. Let's give some scores.
I think it's going to be 2-2.
2-2? Where are New England's goals coming from?
I think you could see that this could be the start of some real momentum for New England, because they looked way much better this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw any of that.
I did not.
But they looked much better. And a lot of times that's what's going to be the first domino down and a domino effect of a team coming together. Because on paper, and this is what we talked about, the second game of the year, they have a good roster. They have players that can play this game. Why it wasn't working, you think, I don't know, what is Friedel doing over there? So maybe this is where they catch fire. They can score goals.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 3-1 for the Crew. I think you might have a New England team that very well could be getting its act together, but I think you've got a Columbus team that definitely has, or hopefully at least, and when you look at the talent and the chemistry that's already there with this Crew team, when you look at a guy like Robinho who's emerging, a guy like Pedro Santos that's emerging, think of how dangerous that front four can be if you've got both of those guys contributing like they were last game. And then now imagine that you can actually play on the surface and the way they might be able to just pick apart that back line. I think Columbus is going to have some goals in him. I think Sanch might grab himself another. And then, of course, you have to deal with the goal-scoring behemoth that is Gaston Sur.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I know. I said it. Yeah. I might become a Sanch believer.
What happened? Just a week ago, you have the curve, and all of a sudden you're thinking he's going to score every game now. He's going to have 35 goals.
I've had a curve for a while, but now he's creating opportunities. He looks like a completely different player this season. I give credit where it's due.
That's true.
Two things. One, I'm wondering about, is it because Alex is not here and you decided to leave GCG bags and join the Sunshine Brigade? Oh. Did I miss something?
When was the last time I picked the Crew to lose, Sam?
Well, never. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the score. Yeah. I'm talking about your affection for Pedro Sanch.
just in this case.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
but
the 3-1 score, I'm saying it's not because Bart's a homer or anything.
Yeah, but I'll say 2-1. I'm not as optimistic, but I'm optimistic enough. When you make 6 changes to a team and they win, that gives the team some momentum, even if they're not good, but there is some momentum. But also, I believe that this Crew team is starting to figure out some things. And in that process, as long as they continue to progress and play good defense or decent defense, I think they're going to be okay. So 2-1.
2-1?
2-1. Oh, by the way. We forgot to mention that in the grades earlier, but Zach Steffen did make Team of the Week.
Oh, great. And well
as
deserved.
He should.
Well deserved.
That should put him up at a 10.
On the way out, we're dreaming of our new stadium, which is still a ways away.
Wait a minute, Brian, what's your score?
Oh, you want me to give a score?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going. You know what? They're going to go crazy. 4-1.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Dang. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I just feel it. For the first time all season, we're going to play on a nice day.
I hope you're right.
The people are going to turn out.
Are you going to be at the game?
Boisterous. I'm planning on being at the game.
In shorts?
It could make a difference.
Oh, no, the shorts.
It's not
I mean,
over
we could use
degrees.
Those as weapons.
Okay, I will wear the shorts with popsicle sticks that look like they have hair glued on them.
Gross.
Nice blonde type wood color for your average popsicle stick and the hair glued on them. That's the way it'll look. You can't wait. It is a sign of spring here in Ohio. All right, the surveys went out. They're asking, what do you want in your new stadium? I don't know. Do you guys have any dreams of what you might find essential in the new park?
Restroom in the press box.
Restroom.
Or connected.
All right. Fair enough for a man who has a press pass.
So I'm
going to
tell you a funny. Our photographer's room has a restroom.
Ah, boo.
Yep. It does. It does. I've been back there before.
We have our own restroom.
They used
and
to,
actually our own shower, too.
It used to be unlocked. And I used to go back there and use it. I hope you don't mind.
You wouldn't be the first non-photographer to use it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't take any pictures, if that's what you're asking. I just went back there and did my business.
One time we went back there after Rock on the Range, and there was blood on the wall.
I find that
it wasn't
not
really blood. It was actually after that when Marilyn Manson was headlining.
Uh-huh.
And there was all sorts of red stuff literally splattered. It looked like a crime scene.
What a shock.
So restrooms, the press box.
Bart. Let's see. For a serious one, I would say safe standing for the Nordeck.
Okay.
I think that will be a great addition, and you've seen Orlando hasn't done a lot of things right, but they did that right with their stadium.
Okay.
And then other than that, probably just like more busts or giant like statues of crew legends. I think
yes,
if you
great.
Get inducted into the Ring of Honor, there should be some sort of statue for you as well, including one for brings it up. One of the things, Ziggy Schmidt, the late Ziggy Schmidt, will be inducted into the Ring of Honor, I believe, June 29th.
That's a beautiful thing.
I think it's June 29th. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some underground parking or a parking garage or something like that in the new stadium.
I'm not worried about
that. It's a bit far-fetched, but there are closer parking garages. Yeah, or walking.
I mean, walking.
I wouldn't. A bigger photographer's room.
A bigger photographer's room.
Well,
really?
The reason I say that is because there is a decent bunch of us that do cover the team.
I know.
We have a lot of gear and laptops and stuff like that. And, you know, on a night like yesterday where we kind of literally have to spread out our stuff to dry.
Yeah.
In between, this is kind of nice.
All right, so
I will say something though for you, Bart. Based on the survey that we got today, the safe standing thing is pretty much a done deal.
Nice.
That seems to be what they've mentioned in every step of the survey that we looked at. Is that it is definitely going to be safe standing.
And to that point, having the fans in the stadium feeling good and in full voice, I hope that the design that I was hearing about early on will be set up as such that the opposing team feels like we're literally right on top of it.
Yeah.
So, and Mike took the survey also, but they have a set of seats called player seats.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull what it was exactly named. It is called, player box, where you're literally sitting. So they have, according to some of the pictures that I saw, it's like three rows of seats like they have in Europe with the nice, you know, race car style chairs.
Yeah.
But then there is fan seats on either side of those right next to the players.
You know,
and they're like incredibly expensive seats, but I'm sure there's some people that'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going to sit there.
Yeah. To bring up another sport, out in Seattle at the renamed T-Mobile Park, the bullpen for the opposing team, They've set it up so that fans can stand there and get in the ear of opposing relievers as they warm up. That's see, I like that thought right there. My amenity that I would love, I just thought of this, was a tunnel, an all-weather tunnel from Betty's to the stadium.
Yes. Oh, Betty's. Oh, yep. I will give up safe standing for that.
Sitting at the bar at Betty's is like, look at my imaginary watch. Oh, it's about time we strolled over to the match.
Well, if
finish
it's
your
open.
Drinks, everyone. Yep. And to somehow be able to bring your drink from Betty's into the stadium. That's not going to happen. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wasn't there a discussion about trying to change some sort of ordinance in the arena district so you can carry open container?
Oh.
I want to say there is some sort of ordinance, right, Peter?
Yeah, I do believe that they are working on some sort of ordinance.
Special entertainment district.
Yeah, special entertainment district.
So it'd be like Vegas style.
Yeah.
Or New Orleans. Yeah, you walk around with your hurricane.
You can walk around with your beer to the stadium.
So that's what I want the
beer in one hand and flare in the other.
I want the climate-controlled tunnel from Betty's.
What could go wrong?
To the stadium. That's what I want. And with that, we're done here, New England and your Columbus crew, Saturday at Montfrey Stadium. By listening to this podcast, you will have the information you need to win tickets to the match. So listen carefully. When do you post the query, Sam?
You know, I try to post it on like Tuesday morning sometimes, but sometimes I forget. And if I do forget, we do extend the deadline.
If Sam
so
forgets.
We tried to post it on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I love that. I saw the picture.
Last week it was Wednesday.
All right.
But I was really busy at work and it completely slipped my mind.
It's fine. It's fine. Bart, do you need to do your shout out?
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, you forgot.
I
you got to talk about your bag.
Yes, of course. The segment three. Was brought to you by, as always, the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Group / Lifestyle Brand. We're going to stick with our good friends Rick and Rick, the Rick and Riff's FIFA's Scouting Report. You should watch it. It's exclusive to GCG Bag TV. You can head over to YouTube.com and search GCG Bag 96 for the channel, because there isn't an easy hyperlink for that. Or you can also just follow GCG Bag on Twitter at GCG Bag 96 or Facebook.com/GCG Bag 96. The Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, champions of Mega Tailgate, definitely not failing, and official sponsors of the Massive Report. It's a thing.
And, of course, we thank our sponsor for the Massive Report, 180 Property Development. And we always appreciate their support of the Massive Report. 180 Property Development, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. They do it all. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out the 180 Property Development website at 180propertydevelopment.com. They're working on that tunnel from Betty's to the new stadium right now. You can see them for your dream home. See them at 180propertydevelopment.com. For Bart, for Mike, for Sam, I'm Brian. And we appreciate you checking out another edition of the Massive Report here at Hendox. We'll be back here next Saturday talking about a 4-1 win.
Saturday.
So you're Columbus. Okay, the game's on Saturday. So we'll be back here on Monday at Hendox talking about the win on Saturday. 4-1 for your Columbus crew. I called it. We'll see you next Monday.
R.I.P. Nipsey Hussle.